114,000. That's a number that I want you to think about for a moment today. I said earlier that we're focusing today on adoption and on foster care, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a need in our country and about some things, and then we're going to celebrate some families and give thanks to God for the amazing ways that He brings joy through adoption. And today we want to celebrate life. We want to celebrate that God cares deeply about every person, from the very youngest to the ones not yet born. Until we step into eternity, God loves us and cares deeply about life. 114,000, that's the number, roughly, of children that are in the United States and waiting to be adopted. I've read a lot of statistics, and it's hard to nail down exactly, but I'm going to give you a few numbers this morning that just are numbers that I've read from the internet. And 114,000 children who are eligible for adoption across the United States and waiting to be adopted. And that's just what I understand to be roughly the United States. And then we think about the need of children around the world and countries where there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of children around the world that are homeless. Some are fatherless, motherless, destitute, alone. Children that are living by themselves and scraping just to survive each day. We see in the news story after story of camps and places where children are displaced. We heard from a missionary that was here a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday about the number of children in the part of Africa that he represents that are homeless and just basically trying to make it on their own, sometimes supported by families and sometimes by others in the community and by Christians and others. But there are so many children around the world that are in great need of a home. And today we're going to focus a little bit just on the United States, but I wanted to mention that about the world. And how do we look at that? How do we look at adoption as Christians and as a church? And what do we believe about children that are orphaned? How should we actively be involved to find solutions for people? In what ways does God call the church and call us as His people to be involved in our community, to be involved in the lives of people, to be involved in the lives of women, to be involved in the lives of families where there's only a mom at home or maybe only a dad at home? We don't have to look very far in the church family to know that there are children right here in our community, right here in the ministry of our church, who come from homes where there's a great need. And sometimes I think we need as a church to be reminded of that and wake up to that and realize that it's not just children that live in Africa, although they are there and the numbers are staggering, or the people that live in parts of Asia, children that have no parents, but there are children right in the circle of our influence that we can be involved in caring for and reaching out to and loving. First of all, by God helping us to have eyes that see children that need help. I've always said and believe since I came here as pastor that our caravan program is one of the most important ministries in our church, because it cares for a whole lot of children that don't have two parents, that oftentimes come from situations that are difficult. And one of the things, as you know, that breaks my heart is to be around children that don't have a father, and to know that there's a need within children to be loved and cared for and attended to. And it's important as God's people that we are reminded of. I know it's painful to think about, and sometimes it might just seem a little overwhelming, and we're not sure really where to put it when we see the amount of difficulty, but I sure don't want us to ignore it. But to be reminded of the needs of people that are hurting around us, and today especially we focus on the needs of children. We know that the Bible is so strong and so clear about how we see children and how we see those that are in that category of need. James chapter 1 verse 27, it says it so clearly: religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. From the heart of God comes a call to see people that are hurting and love them and care for them and do everything that we can do in order to meet the needs of people that are hurting. Exodus chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Do not take advantage of the widow or orphan." I want you to notice also in this scripture I quoted that they're linked together, the widows and the orphans, the orphans and the widows. Psalm chapter 146, verse 9 says, "The Lord watches over and sustains the fatherless and the widow." You see, God cares about people from the very beginning and conception all the way to the grave. He cares about the youngest. He cares about the oldest. He cares about those that are abandoned at birth, and He cares about those that are aged and lonely in the nursing homes. God cares deeply about people. And if we're going to have a heart of God, we've got to have a heart that cares for people and sees the needs of people and does whatever God gives our hands to do to reach out and to love people for God. I want this morning to bring attention to the needs of adoption. Especially, it begins with a knowledge of the heart of God and how God cares deeply about people. We're reminded in these verses of what is highly valuable in God's eyes in our faith. There are some things about being a Christian that we know are culture and just kind of how we do it and maybe kind of our traditions. I mean, like being in this place with air conditioning and padded pews and a beautiful platform and a nice foyer and restrooms that have running water and, you know, and the way we do worship, and we usually sing first, then we pray, and then we take an offering, and then we just kind of have patterns. All those are things about religion, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're good, but the Bible does get a little bit deeper to the things that really matter to the heart of God, and seeing people that are hurting and responding with whatever we are given to respond with is what God wants from you and I. That's pure religion. That's religion, as one translation says, that's undefiled. When you love people and you see the needs of people around you and you reach out and whatever God gives you to touch them. I gave you a few minutes ago a statistic. I'm going to give you some more. And again, there's so much you can read about these things. And whether I got the numbers exactly, I'm not sure. I drew on several websites. And here's another number that I wanted to give you. 410,000. 410,000 roughly are the number of children and teens that are in foster care today in the United States. Somewhere either in homes of individuals who host them and have taken them temporarily or for a time, or they're in some kind of a group home or facility that's designed by the state and they live there and they're in some kind of a environment together. 410,000. Many of them are eligible for adoption, but they may never get out of foster care because there may not be the right combination or the right home for them to live in, or there might simply just not be enough of people who are able to adopt and have it in their hearts and choose to do so. I want to tell you these numbers not to make anybody feel guilty, but just to say this is something that we should feel heavy about as a church. God's people should feel heavy when there's not enough resources to meet the needs, and there are more needs than there seem to be resources available right now. It gives us something to pray about. It gives us something to say, God, how can I do something more? How can I be involved in a way that does help others in this way? And this is one of the rough statistics that I've heard about this. About 1 in 4 children who are eligible for adoption will be adopted. 1 in 4 children. That means that 3 out of 4 are not. And I don't know what the number is around the world. It would be staggering, obviously. But there's so many children out there, I hear and read, that would like to be adopted, but they continue in foster care, and hopefully their needs are met, and they're in an environment that's good and healthy for them. But there's many children out there that would love to be adopted. They would just love for a mom and a dad to say, I want you to be a part of my family. One of the painful numbers that I also looked at and did a little more reading about this is the term age out, which I understand is kind of the description for people that go through the foster care of either a few years or many years, and they reach the age of 18, and then they age out of the system and they kind of go into society. And there's about 22,000 a year. that go into society without a family. That should cause us to do some grieving. Maybe do some more praying. Maybe, oh God, what can we do? What can we do? I read of that 22,000, I read a whole list of statistics, and again, I don't know exactly how accurate they are. I don't know who wrote them, but it said that if there's 22,000 a year, 60% of the males end up in prison within 3 years. Who age out without a family? Pretty heavy to think about. Oh, we love to celebrate adoption, and it's beautiful. And in our church family, we've had numerous families that have adopted, and it's so joyful. And we're going to celebrate a couple of them in a few minutes. But before we get there, I just want to give you a little bit of reality of the other side and the challenges that are there. Oh, we love the adoption of children and teens and newborns, and how beautiful and wonder and celebratory it is. But our hearts are also heavy for the older children, and the need is great for adoption and fostering of teenagers and preteens and those that have gotten up to a certain age and may not be as easy to place in adoption. And that can give us something to pray for and to care about, and to say, God, help us to do that. I want to bring your attention quickly to one story in the Bible about adoption for just a few minutes. I don't know if you've ever realized that Queen Esther was adopted. Maybe you did if you studied her story, but the story of Esther is a beautiful story in the Bible. And I love that story. I've preached it. I've studied it. I've read it, but I've never read it from the angle of adoption. But you know that Esther was adopted by a man named Mordecai. Mordecai was a faithful Jew. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And what we know about them, I won't take time to read the whole text, but the story tells us about how Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, Esther, whom he brought up because she had neither father nor mother. It's just a little blurb about this man who adopted Esther and how precious that story is, and some things about Mordecai that just get my attention and about this wonderful man is that Mordecai, number one, he had taken care of Esther as his own daughter, the verse says. I won't take time to read it, but it says he took care of Esther as his own daughter. He brought Esther into his home. She had no father or mother, but he gave of himself to take care of Esther. We know that Mordecai was very protective of Esther. He was watching out for her. We know that he counseled her many times, and even in this part of the story, and I'm sure hundreds of times other, there he was just like a father saying, Esther, don't do that, or do this, or this is what you need to be, or this is how you need to respond. He had a very protective sense within him, and he counseled Esther wisely. You can see within Esther, from what we know about her, how she developed into this strong, beautiful, wonderful woman that God used in a mighty way. He spoke truth into her life. He conveyed to Esther a deep faith in who God was. And in conveying that faith into Esther, it became a part of who Esther was, so that when Esther came to her day of testing and Esther came to her time of decision, she was able to choose what was best and what was right. I guess if I had to describe in one brief sentence about Mordecai in this story, I would say of Mordecai is he was always there. From what we know briefly about the story, and we don't know a lot of details, but he was there. He was there from an early age in Esther's life, and he was there through her development. He was there when she was a young woman, and he was there, I suppose, until the day he died, showing love and giving care and pouring his life into this precious young girl. And what happened because of Mordecai? What do we see as a result of what Mordecai did? And what do we see as a result of people who love and reach out and do their best with those that need to be adopted? Obviously, we know there's many challenges to adoption, emotional, psychological, financial, and sometimes adoption goes very well, and it actually seems even easier sometimes maybe than raising your own children, and other times people face all kinds of challenges. So Today I'm not wanting to summarize adoption as so easy or wonderful or great, nor that it's always difficult and challenging. There's variety to it, but we know that when you give yourself to love people, God can do amazing things. And there's beautiful stories of that. But think of what happened because of Mordecai and how he gave. Number one, a little girl was cared for. Her life was valued. How important it is that we value the lives of children. We value the lives of the people around us. And again, whether they are infants or whether they are 97 years old, we need to value people and always value them and put our highest affection and care on the value and the importance of life. We also know that her faith was nurtured. Her faith was nurtured. And Mordecai lived it, he believed it, and he lived it out. Her faith was nurtured. She learned to trust. She learned to trust Mordecai. She learned to trust God. She learned that there was a God in heaven who had control over the world. And God used her to rescue his people. You know, Esther's story is one of saving a whole lot of Jewish people. It was an amazing story, all because a man named Mordecai chose to adopt. Truly, adoption and foster care can make a difference in the lives of people. And today we celebrate that. I've invited a couple of families to come and share a testimony today of their adoption. We've had, like I said, several families in our church who've adopted and been impacted by adoption. There's probably some that I don't know about, but I've asked the Sholly family to come, the Ansel family to come, Sarah to come, and Caleb and Sheila Clark and their family to come, and they're going to share a testimony, and they have some beautiful babies to show us today in celebration of adoption. Following their testimonies, all of you just come at the same time and join us, and then following that, we're going to pray for adoption, for families, for children, and celebrate together. Lynn, you look awful proud there. You just come and have fun here. Oh, my. Oh, my. He did. What big eyes. Those are big Texas eyes, huh?
Good morning.
Congratulations.
I have a very special guest with me this morning. This is Harper Lee Ansel. He just woke up. Harper was born February 20th. In Texas, and Jeff and Sarah had the privilege of being down there for the delivery and being blessed with a brand new baby boy. We are so thankful for Harper. He is a truly a blessing in our lives. Adoption can be a challenging experience, but when it's all said and done, it is just such a blessing and a great thing. It was kind of neat. Sarah and Jeff got to meet the biological mother and the biological grandparents and got to know a little bit about Harper and the history, and it was interesting that the biological grandparents, this would have been the mother's parents, said that when they seen Jeff and Sarah's biography that they put out for people to review, that they really encouraged their daughter to choose Jeff and Sarah because they were Christians. And they wanted to see their grandson raised in a Christian home. And so we're all going to do our best to honor that and do that. And just want to let you know that I'm blessed with two grandsons. I have a biological grandson, and I have an adopted grandson, and there is no difference. We just love them both so much. They are just truly a blessing in our lives. And yes it is. And this day was also a blessing for me, too. Hopefully Sarah doesn't mind me giving her age, but Sarah is 29, and this was the first Mother's Day that Sarah could come up and be honored as a mother. And that was just truly special for me as a father to be able to experience that with her. So thank you. I don't know if you want to add anything, Sarah, or you're just going to try to keep him.
I'll just try to pacify.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. In a minute. Okay.
The first service, we had both of our little ones up here, but Whitney went downstairs now. For many years, Mother's Day was one of my least favorite days of the year. Caleb and I had longed for a child for many years and struggled with fertility issues. It just hurt too bad to see so many moms with their children. Mother's Day was just another reminder that I wasn't a mother, and church was the last place that I wanted to be on that day. Now I stand before you today on Mother's Day, the proud mommy of two amazing blessings. So how fitting for me to be asked the question by Pastor Carell, on Mother's Day, what does adoption mean to me? To me, adoption means life. And I have a two-part answer to that question. First of all, I have life. Eternal life because of God's grace through my spiritual adoption. Spiritually, all who have accepted Christ into their heart know the joys of being adopted and loved by a heavenly Father. Being adopted by God means that we are accepted into His family, and this brings a multitude of blessings and responsibilities. Being adopted by God means that we get to spend eternity with Him. As believers, we become children of God and are adopted into His family. Galatians 3:26, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The second part of my answer is about my personal experience with adoption. It is my life because I have a precious life to raise because of adoption. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Like I had mentioned earlier, a number of years ago, we desired to start a family. Through adoption, this was made possible. We have been blessed with a tender-hearted little boy. Just like spiritual adoption, physical adoption brings a multitude of blessings and responsibilities. Who knew at just 3 days old this little boy would change our lives forever? This tender-hearted boy looks after his younger sister, sings praises and hymns about Jesus, and is always concerned about the needs of other people and often prays for them without being prompted. We have been blessed beyond what we could imagine. God is good and faithful. Our children have taught and shown us more love than we knew or expected, just as Christ loves us. Biological or not, my children are first and foremost God's. He is their heavenly Father. We are their earthly parents. Their earthly adopted parents. They are on loan to us. Through adoption, God has given me spiritual life and physical life. Ethan and Whitney have done so much more for us than we have for them. God has given us one of the greatest desires of our hearts, and now it is my greatest desire to see my children adopted into God's family. God's plan is so much bigger than ours. And the gift of life is a beautiful gift. He can bless us beyond what we can imagine.
He likes crowds. But he has been quite a blessing in our lives, and we thank God for Whitney and Ethan. And they're both miracles because through it all, we were having trouble having kids, and miraculously, we had Whitney also. So we have two growing miracles that we're responsible for, and we just thank God for them.
Amen.
I did think of one more thing, how adoption means life, because if you think of the birth mom, she chose life. She could have gone another route, but she did choose life. So that's another reason adoption means life.
Thank you. Again, thank you. Would you express appreciation? Would you stand with me and let's pray together for life and for God's help in ministering to the needs of people. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of celebrating adoption today, celebrating with Caleb and Sheila and their beautiful family, and with Sarah and Jeff and their family, and the great celebration of these beautiful children. Every life is precious, and Lord God, we pray for those that are being adopted. We pray, Lord, for maybe moms that are out there and unsure about what to do in their pregnancy, that they would know that there are people that care about them and can help to offer life. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful as a church in order to meet the needs of people that are hurting, moms and dads and children, and Lord, the age spectrum from the youngest to the oldest, that we would value life. We pray for children that are in foster care. We pray, God, that there would be solutions, whether that be to be in a home and be in a more stable environment for long term, God. We pray that you would meet those needs. I pray that you'd help us as a church to know how we can encourage and help each other, or maybe support one another and support those that feel a call to adopt or to be a foster parent, that there would be more who would be willing to do that and the needs would be met. Help us to look around in our church and see the children, maybe in our caravan program and in other places, that do not come from stable homes, and that we can be have an impact in loving children and loving people for you, Father, I pray. Thank you for the privilege of adoption, and pray that you would help us as a church to do whatever you call us to do in this area, I pray. We pray for families today. Pray for moms and dads. Give them strength. Give them discernment, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you be seated just for another moment? We are going to receive an offering for Pregnancy, Women's Expectation Center. And Sarah is the director for the Williamsport Women's Expectation Center. And ask her, while ushers, go ahead and come and receive that offering. And while you're doing that, I've asked Sarah just to share a little bit about Women's Expectation Center and also some baby bottles that you can support this ministry with, too. And maybe she'll let me hold the baby while you're doing that.
What I'm going to talk about expectations, but adoption is such a beautiful thing. And I remember throughout the entire process that I told Jeff, you know, whether it's through our pregnancy or through adoption, we were going to end up with the child that God always intended us to have. And, you know, God has a plan, and I believe long ago he had Harper set aside for Jeff and I, and I'm just so thankful for that. But other than being Harper's mommy, as the pastor said, I'm the director of Expectations Women's Center in Williamsport. Most of you probably know Expectations as the Pregnancy Care Center. That was formerly our name. We're the same organization, just a different name. And just to tell you a little bit about what we do, most people know us for our ministry to women who are abortion vulnerable or abortion minded. And that's a huge part of what we do. But there's so many other things that we offer at the center. Just to let you know why fundraisers and love offerings like this are so important, Expectations is run solely on donations. That means all the supplies we get for the women and families, all the day-to-day expenses, and even down to my salary, the rest of the staff's salary, it's all by donation. And it's amazing because you have a job where it's solely on faith that, you know, God's going to provide. And we truly have been blessed by the community and the churches who have really supported us through the years. The pastor talked about the love offering, which I know that they were doing now. And that's a great way to support us. But another way, and it's kind of fun, a lot of the kids enjoy this, is the baby bottle drive. And a lot of the churches in the area will do this drive from Mother's Day to Father's Day. And what it is you literally get a baby bottle and you take it home, and it's so easy because it's your spare change. It's, some people put dollar bills in there, but it's whatever you feel led to give. But everyone has change in their car or, under a sofa cushion. I know I do. And the kids love to get involved. They like to put the change in the bottles and know about the families that it's going to, families that we are working with so that they can be restored and that they can be able to raise their children in godly homes. So my mom and I, right, Mom? Yeah, we will be near the back door. And if you want a baby bottle, great. All you have to do is just sign your name and a little bit of information and take it. And whatever you can give is great. I think that's all I have. Can I take my baby back?
I'll just keep him.
Oh, his eyes are open. He drank all his bottle.
Oh, goodness.
There ain't nothing left. Look at that. Look at them eyes. Woo. Boy, oh boy, he sees a good-looking crowd. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, Sarah. God bless. Have a great day.